NBA betting, Rose and Balls. Let's get it. All-Star Weekend's approaching. We have a Super Bowl hangover. It was a solid Super Bowl. Let's get back to the... I had my hand with the NBA season. I want to talk about how tight these Eastern Conference is and how things might unravel. Right now in the East, we've discussed it quite extensively. I'll talk about Boston in a second, actually. The East, to me, is underratedly open. We used to think the West was open, and I think the West is actually tighter, and the East is more open. I'll explain. So just to kind of recap, in the West, you know, I think going into the year, we thought, okay, maybe like 6, 7, 8 teams could win this conference. Maybe record-wise, but, you know, represent the West in the finals. It reminded me of the flip, which was like in the early 2000s, you know, I would say between like 99 and 2005, you had that in the East. Like, we knew in the West was Lakers or Spurs pretty much every year. But in the East, you know, all these random teams popping in. Like, there was a time, like, it was the Walker, Pierce, Celtics, obviously the Nets. They all seemed beatable. The Pistons, it was the Ben Wallace Pistons, rather, who ended up winning one. You know, could LeBron break through early in those Cavs years? I mean, there was just a lot of randomness of who could represent the East, and the data show that, right? Between 99 and 2005, I think you had the Nets, Pistons, and you had the Pacers, Sixers, Nets, Pistons, Heat, Cavs in the finals. Those 6 different teams in a span of like 7 or 8 years, right? Which is, you know, that's pretty varied selection there. You had... obviously, a few teams represented twice. The Pistons represented twice. Beyond that, I don't think anybody else represented twice. I mean, the Nets did, obviously, back-to-back years. But did they know? They did the Spurs. The Nets and the Pistons represented the finals twice each, and then everyone else's, you know, once, these random teams. But still, like, even those Eastern teams seemed quite beatable. Now, I think you have the same thing. And we thought the same thing was going to occur this year in the West, right? Going into the year, I thought New Orleans looked quite good. You know, everyone was talking about the Lakers. Golden State's still flirting around. And obviously, you have your mainstays in Denver. Phoenix, people thought was going to pop up. But now, I actually think it's a 3-team race. And that's OKC, Denver, and the Clippers. And I actually think it's a 1-team race. I think it's the Clippers. To me, since the Harden deal, the fit is quite immaculate. I didn't think... the fit was going to be this good with Harden on the Clippers. It is. It makes Morey look bad. I'm going to talk about Morey in a second. Makes Morey look quite bad how just incredible the fit is with James Harden in Clipperland. Clippers are the team to beat. They whooped the Celtics. That was, I think, really a statement win there. The only team that I can see really competing, I don't even think it's Denver. I think it's OKC. I mean, they got Gordon Hayward now. Maybe OKC's ready sooner. That, to me, is the only likelihood. But I think it's the Clippers' conference to lose, right? Lest OKC be ready sooner rather than later. But, look, Harden's a terrific player. You have George and Leonard are now healthy. They have enough depth with Coffey, Westbrook, Powell, Zubac, Tice, Plumlee. I mean, it's a deep enough roster, I should say. And quite impactful. So to me, the West is kind of locked up. I mean, like, wake me up with the conference finals to an extent. You know, if OKC Clippers is interesting, Denver, fine. I think Denver, the chemistry's there, I get it. The it's just too much of a gap for me, for talent. Just too much of a gap. Don't love that talent gap. Don't love it. But in the East, it's more open. And in the East, I think a couple things happen. First, the Knicks look like the clear number 2 seed. So let's talk about Celtics. Well, we'll talk about the Celtics first, actually. The Celtics right now, really, if you watch them lately, they are not destroying teams like they used to. This is like... Joe Mazzulla, this is the same thing over and over again. This is a rerun of last year. This is what it feels like. It is literally a rerun, okay? They had this hot start because the three-point shooting looked fantastic. Everyone was like, oh, that's it. Like, you know, finals or bust for this team. They're winning the whole thing. And look, they're still favored to win. I get it, but they're a flawed basketball team. I think the Brown fit is still funky. He hasn't really improved enough for me since like 2 years ago. He's the same player, so he's kind of plateaued. Tatum's been improving, great. Horford regressed. People like the offseason pickup. I think it was fine. Tillman, are these guys going to really make an impact during the playoffs? I don't think so. Horford's regression, it was obviously easy to predict because he's getting older, but it's impactful. He was huge for them. And really, the Celtics' two X-Factors are the main guys here, right? It's going to be Derek White and Kristaps Porzingis. I do think they probably... They're gonna lose the coaching battle in a lot of these games. I hate to say it, as much as I'm not gonna knock Joe Mazzulla, but like, look, it's hard. You throw in a rookie coach for a team looking to win the title, even a second year guy, when a couple guys were available. I don't know. I still feel like that is a weakness that gets exposed. It got exposed last year in a couple of the series. I think Celtics were tighter in series than they should have been. Talent wise, should have beaten the Hawks by 5. That was a 6-game series, right? And obviously, they lost to the Heat, a series they should not have lost. They should have won the title. Celtics should have won the title the last 2 years. All right, I know, like, oh, you're home. No, they should have beaten Golden State for sure. They were favored to win that title. And they shouldn't have beaten Miami, and thus, I think, would have been favored against Denver. So you can't keep squandering these, title chances. I just think it's a bad look for everybody. And... yeah, and right now, you know, you get blown out by the Clippers, as we talked about. I think they're in way too many games they shouldn't be in. They almost lost to Atlanta at home. The games are a lot closer. I don't know what they're against the spread thing is over the last, like, 10 games, but it's not good. It's like 1-9 against the spread over the last 10. So, yeah, they're obviously favored to win, but they're playing down to their opponents. And there's just a heavy reliance on Kristaps. He's been hitting it, but, like, that I don't love the reliance there. I would have liked to see more continuity on this team. And look, I think they did the best they could, but like in terms of the deadline, what are they supposed to do? Tillman, fine. Maybe he replaces Horford. Is it enough? I don't know. Springer from Philly. Is he replacing Lamar Stevens in the rotation? I mean, we're not. What are we getting excited about here? I think there's some scary elements. And my hope is, look, as much as I like Joe, they don't want it this year. They have to replace him. It's a must to me. Get a veteran coach who, you know, knows the roster up and down, knows the weaknesses. The Madoku thing, I really broke them. It really did. But look, maybe it's doomsday. You know, I got to calm down, right? Like, really not the end of the world here. Totally fair as well. They have an offseason to play. They have a season to play. Okay, but beyond Boston, Boston's vulnerable. Boston's vulnerable in the series, in my opinion. Teams can beat them. But then beyond them, every other team's vulnerable too. Let's go down the list, right? So, the Knicks, I think, would have been the 2 seed had they been healthy. That's always the if with everybody. They're not, okay? They lost 3 of the top 4 best players. It's basically Brunson and friends right now. The pickers of Bogey and Burks are suspect to me. Burks is not the same guy he was 2 years ago. You know, he's also aging a little bit. And Bogey's a matador on defense. Evan Fournier in a 3-4 man's body. So, the Knicks are now kind of barely in games against Indiana, against Dallas. I think right now it's like a 30-win team without some of these guys. So let's see how they limp down the stretch. They kind of sacrifice some, you know, future talent in Grimes, which I understand they were going to retain, but he's a trade piece. And they sacrificed that for some win now because I think they're flirting with the 2 seed. That looks less likely. Okay. Then you go further now. Philadelphia, we all know. Embiid, I mean, is he coming back? Meniscus tear doesn't sound good. Meniscus replacement. The words tear, torn, replacement don't sound good for an injury, period. I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's a nose hair replacement. Okay. The guy's out for a while, and it takes a long time to recover. All right. That's the bottom line. So, you know, again, Philadelphia, Buddy Hield, that's your move. All right. And to be honest, even if they were healthy, I wouldn't feel like so thrilled as a Sixer fan. The bench is thin. They got Campaign in there now. Look, very vulnerable. Milwaukee, was 2-8 since Doc Rivers came, who's the new coach of the Eastern Conference All-Stars. You're throwing them in there. They're clearly desperate. That team already has excuses baked in for when they lose early in the playoffs. That's a vulnerable team. Okay. So now your potential 2-3 are vulnerable. So now that paves the way. Cleveland's on the up and up. Now, my issue with Cleveland is, like, Garland and Mitchell still haven't figured out how to play with each other. I think each one's better without the other. They looked great when Garland was out because their defense was really good without him. And now Mobley's back and Allen's back. That team, I think, should be the 2-seed. Okay. Indiana is Haliburton. If Haliburton can get healthy and they get Siakam in a drive, that's a team I'd be afraid of because they could hit their stride right before the playoffs. If you start, like, you know, it takes as long as it takes to acclimate certain talents and all that, they should hit their stride right before the playoffs. And if they do, that's a scary team to face. So Indiana's in the mix now. Atlanta has been playing well. I think they've won 5 of the last 6. The Hawks, I think that, you know, DeJounte or Young, one of them needs to be 6 man, probably Murray. Now that Murray's there for the rest of the year, it gives them solace on their team a little bit. Now, oh, look, they didn't do, you know, any moves, really. But they have talent. You know, Jalen Johnson's been on the up and up. Now they're starting a Kungo. I think that unravels, that opens up something rather for them positively. If they have Hunter's now back. And now you look at the rotation, like, this kind of makes sense. You got Young, Murray, Hunter, Johnson, Akungo, Capella, Bogey off the bench. That's a pretty good Sadiq Bey. That's a good 7-8-man playoff rotation. Okay? And now Young's pissed. They didn't make the All-Star game. I mean, he got back on as, like, an injured replacement, but still. So Atlanta's a threat for me. I like Atlanta to start the year. Miami, are they a threat? Butler's been in and out, but you don't want to face them in the playoffs. Now they got Rozier. All right, look, I'm not going to overrate Miami. I know people sleep on them, whatever. But now I think you really have, you know, and again, as much as, like, hobbled on the Knicks, and the Knicks are healthy going to the playoffs, they could upset some folks in the playoffs. Okay? So, look, the Celtics are favored. I honestly think you have 5 teams that could win the East. And I'd love to say it's the Celtics' turn to win, but I don't know if I believe that so much anymore. And I mean, look, am I missing a team here? Orlando's not ready yet. You know, Toronto, I think Masai secretly thinks they could sneak something. Toronto is not going to be a cakewalk. I don't think they get past the first round, but yeah, they won't be a cakewalk. Especially with Quickly playing well. You know, Barrett's been fitting in. They've put him at 6-man, which makes sense. They're now allowing Grady Dick more minutes. Kelly Olynyk was a decent pickup for them. They have also a deep rotation. They need someone to take the leap, like a Scottie Barnes, to even leap further than he has, or Barrett to even do that, maybe in Toronto if he can't. But bottom line to me, you're talking, I think, between, obviously, Boston, New York, Cleveland, Philly, Atlanta, and Miami, you have about 6 teams that have above 5% chance to win the conference. Crazy. And maybe I'm overrating Atlanta. I just think they've been playing well. There's upsets that could occur. There's injuries. Again, Porzingis. If Porzingis goes down, and this isn't like, you know, well, Tatum goes down. Tatum doesn't usually go down. I'm talking about guys who are injury prone, right? Porzingis is injury prone, and he has been throughout the year. He's in and out of the lineup a lot, and they're a different team. They're a different team with him than without him. So I just think it's fascinating how varied that is. And versus in the West, I don't think you have 6 teams more than a 5% chance. I think you have 3 teams. So it's a flip from where we thought the season was going to go. And I think the storyline, depending on what happens to the teams, is fascinating. Like, the NBA is, there's obviously, it's a headline league. You're going to constantly have headlines along the way. What's funny is, like, you want the headline early. You don't want the headline late. You know, you don't want to be a story like, well, we're behind. We're not as good as we were. You want the opposite. Like, wow, you're so good. That's actually why Chicago has not rebuilt yet, is because they're still living off this, like, headline to start the season, like, 3 years ago when they were a top 4 seed. Okay? That's what's funny about it. Minnesota's living off this headline right now, even though they've kind of slowly not super great last couple weeks. Okay? they're doing the headline move, you know, which is, and the Celtics are too, by the way, which is like, oh, wow, what a great start. What a great start. At a certain point, it's not a great start because the season's halfway done. But the storylines are going to be fascinating between, to me, there's a couple of storylines that are already taking place. So we'll go around them. We've talked about them before, okay? Chicago, we know. It's not even like, unique, and it depends on how Levine comes back. So I'm even going to ignore that. Not such a storyline. Not really. The bigger storylines, Trae Young's a storyline. So if Atlanta can get past the first round, maybe they reconsider. But I think they're flipping their tune on the Murray-Young thing. And maybe Young's the guy they move. Interesting. Minnesota, about time for Karl Anthony Towns. Where does he go? And then New Orleans, I think, will have to start talking about Zion. And consolidation, at least. They could be interested in one of these teams too, or they just go after like a Trae Young and just you know, overwhelm you talent-wise, even though the offense is amazing, the defense makes no sense. The most likely candidate to me is going to be Karl Anthony Towns. Minnesota is just not there cap-wise. They cannot afford, you know, all this craziness, if you will. By the way, fun note, the last team of a four major sport to win a championship, and any of them is Minneapolis. I saw that Quizlet come through. So, yeah, a lot of it's going to depend on what they do. But if they lose in the first round, or even the second, Towns is going to be the fall guy, as he should. They'll likely rebuild. Those are my thoughts to start the second half of the year. Second half coming this way.